Welcome back to United We Stand, Divided We Podcast. I'm Lionel McClintock. I'm in Toronto, Canada, and we have with us, introduce yourself.
Robert, and just outside Nashville, Tennessee.
Where it's probably a little nicer than it is in Toronto right now. It's been raining.
We actually had a beautiful day today.
Sunny,
warm, clear skies, but we're supposed to get some storms tonight, so it's going to change tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? Here's the thing. For the first time since 2017, 2018, we might finally be able to get back our real friendly rivalry, albeit only if both of our hockey teams can make it to the second round. I think they would play each other in the second round if that happened, right? That's correct,
yes.
Right?
That would be the conference final and then going into the division final and then Stanley Cup.
Right. We should mention our topics for today are basically going to be about playoffs because, you know what, I got to say they're here, but they're technically around the corner yet. As an example, there are some teams still playing. The Winnipeg Jets have one game to play. They've locked up a playoff spot, but not the actual exact spot. They could finish as low as 7th, possibly 8th. I'm not sure if somebody can pass them or not. Or they could finish as high as 4th. If they win tonight, they actually will finish 4th. Because they'll have the same amount of points as the Florida Panthers, but they would have the advantage based on the ROW, which I can't remember exactly what that means, but it has something to do with wins, including overtime, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, something like that.
And they have an advantage of a few games of that. So even if they win, you know, whether it's overtime or not, they have the advantage there.
Our stuff was all messed up, and because it's like, at first we thought we could lose the number one wild card to the Golden Knights, but then realized if the Golden Knights win out, they would actually displace the Kings in the last actual playoff spot, which would put the Kings under its, and then we have the tiebreaker against the Kings and more points. So our number one playoff wild card spot was locked up anyway, so
yeah, exactly. But, like I said, that's exactly what I was going to say tweeted to you, but I don't even use, I'm sorry, X. What's wrong with my camera? Are you seeing that too?
Yeah, it's there it goes. Okay,
I think it's that notification issue again. I gotta find a way to turn that off. It's really gonna get on my nerves. It's gonna get on a lot of people's nerves. Thing is I generally clear the notifications because if it's only one or two, it's not a big deal. But that's another discussion. We could bring that up another time. Why notifications have to be a huge problem. Android does it so much better than iOS. Guess what? iOS doesn't hound you with your notifications if you don't want them to. So let's you know. Anyways, we're going there. Back into some nice NHL stuff. I'm, of course, a little anxious. As a matter of fact, on my phone right now, what I should do is actually pin the score. Because hopefully they're not already losing, because they're sitting a lot. Oh, good God, it's 1-1. I shouldn't have opened my mouth. All right, my score is pinned for that. They're playing the Vancouver Canucks. If the Canucks win, they leapfrog back over the Jets. Jets will finish somewhere around 7th overall in the league, which is not bad. It's good. But it also means they have only one game of... Oh, sorry, no, they won't have home ice advantage at all. The Canucks will have it, and depending on who wins beyond the first round, they may never have home ice advantage. If they beat them, they finish 4th, and they could theoretically get home ice advantage in every series, depending on who beats who before the Jets get there. That's a big
issue. I don't know who between the Preds and the Jets would... I mean, you're a higher standing, but... Yeah, I don't know.
You mean who would win if they played each other?
No, who would have home ice advantage?
The Jets, of course, because they're higher in the standings, period. There's no tying. The tiebreakers only count if the points are actually tied. It otherwise automatically goes to points in the position. The Jets are definitely ahead, so they would have home ice. It would be the exact reverse of 2017-2018, where you had the advantage.
Which maybe that plays to our advantage because we've been a better road team this year than we were last year. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Preds' home record, it's almost identical to the Winnipeg Jets' home record, and they're one of the best in the league. Like I said, they're one win away from finishing fourth overall, and if they do that, they will actually finish only 4 points out of first place overall. That's right. Where they finish. And if I remember correctly, in 2017-2018, they were 3 points out of first place overall behind the Predators. And that was at second. So fourth or second, 3 or 4 points out of first place overall at the end of the season, that's something, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's pretty good. And the Predators really only had their struggles at home. Although you have to admit, it was a lot less in the last, I'd say, 10 or so home games. They played a lot better. I think they won about 7 of those, didn't they?
I don't know the exact number, but yeah, I mean, yeah. Ever since that complete ass whooping we took against Dallas, they did turn things around. And their numbers from February to the end of the season were pretty notable, but they were very inconsistent. And you have to have a consistency in the playoffs. You can't be dropping 2-3 games right. And then come back and start winning again. You got to have some consistency, and that's where my doubt lies.
Yeah, by the way, I do have to say something. I realize I said something really ridiculously dumb. It's the Avalanche that the Jets are playing in the first round, not the Canucks. You guys are the ones playing the Canucks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So let's actually talk about, realistically, we can go with our opinions on what we think, but let's talk about the players, what they have on their team, who they have on their team, their goaltending, their defensive structure, power plays, and whatnot, and break down who we think should win the series between the Preds and Canucks, and why. So you're the Predators fan. You're the one in the Nashville area. So we'll start with you, and then I'll tell you what I think about some of those things.
Okay. So everyone talks about how we lost against the Canucks all 3 games this year. But all 3 games this year were played prior to that February turnaround when we were actually playing really crappy hockey. Right. In addition to that, Demko is just coming back from, is it a hamstring or groin injury or something?
I'm not sure.
And he played really well. He did like 38 of 40 saves the last game they played. Excuse me. But is he long-term? And he doesn't have the playoff experience like Saros has.
Right.
In the goalie department, to me, it's a no-brainer. We have the better goalie, and we have the more experienced goalie, et cetera, et cetera. But he's a good goalie, so it doesn't mean – I mean, he could be standing on his head for 4 games, and it'd be a sweep.
You know? Right.
So who knows? But I feel personally we better matched in this round with Vancouver than we do with Dallas.
I think almost anybody matches better with Vancouver than they do with Dallas, to be honest with you.
They're tough. They always play us tough.
I'm happy the Jets aren't playing them in the first round. I don't know why.
Yeah. We're crossing our fingers that the Vegas can pull off a series win. So either you or, I should say, the Jets or the Preds would face Vegas in round 2 if one of us gets eliminated.
Right. In all honesty, I don't want to see the Jets have to go up against the Vegas again. They have some kind of a stingy form of a defense that has a way of being able to stifle teams in the playoffs, and they've done it 3 out of the last 5 years where they've completely stifled other teams, and the only teams that were able to beat them were the teams that either went on to win the Stanley Cup or went on to go to the Stanley Cup and at least, you know, have a really good shot.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Stone is going to be back. And, of course, Marchessault has been hot. So, I mean, Stone has been, you know, before he got hurt, I mean, he was our lead, you know, guy in many categories. But
that
being said, you know, and there's some numbers with Forsberg that I just, Because he's done it so quietly this year, hasn't been so dramatic. It kind of got snuck under the table.
Let me cut you off for just one second. I accidentally saw his stats the other day because it was something else that somebody was talking about in an article, and they flashed up on, or not an article, in a video, and they flashed up the numbers of several players for whatever reason as to how long they've been around and what they've done over the last X amount of seasons and what they did this season. And I saw his for this season. I was like, huh? What? Why are the league not, why are broadcasters not talking about this guy? I mean, he's playing right now as if he were 30 or 30, as if he were 22 years old. Anyways, continue, please.
No, yeah. 48 goals, which is a franchise record, which the previous record was 43 that Duchesne did. That same year, he did 42. He was only one behind Duchesne that year. So he did 48 goals. But here's the metric to me that means the most. I mean, obviously goals are huge, but
well, yeah.
He's had like almost 900 shot attempts. He didn't even have half that last year.
That's just one season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Wow. And he didn't even have that. He was like 380 last year, and he's done almost 900 shot attempts this year.
You got to make me actually look up Mark Scheifele now, because he's always had really high shot attempts. Not league record shot attempts, but high nonetheless. Even if he doesn't score for four games in a row, he usually has as many or more shots as most people, with the exception of when you have games like Kyle Connor getting like nine. Yeah. Shot attempts, but he and then, of course, scores three times if he does that. But
you have Roman Josi, who's been his stellar performance. I mean, he's in the Norris Trophy talk. I don't know if he's going to actually get that nomination, but he deserves it. He's got, you know, like top three, top five numbers in almost every category for defensemen. He's leading defenseman in goals scored, and I mean, you know, it's just typical Roman Josi kind of stuff. He's exciting. I love watching him play.
Okay, let's see here. If it lets me spell his name properly. Mark, please continue with your stat while I look this up.
Well, no, that was really kind of it. The only other player that's really kind of come on the scene that's a new player is Gus Nyquist. I love Nyquist. I mean, we've had some really good additions. Obviously, McDonough. Ryan O'Reilly, O'Reilly and Nyquist we got just this year. Obviously, McDonough was on our team last year, but right. Nyquist has like 22 goals, I think. I mean, he's come on fire. I mean, this is like he's having a career year, and he's in his 30s.
Well, your team right now, well, not right now, the season's over, they're going into the playoffs now, but for most of the year, but especially in the second half for the most part, they've been consistently slightly better than middle of the pack in goal scoring as a team, which a lot of people might think, well, it's mediocre, so what? You know, slightly better than the middle of the pack. Keeping in mind that slightly better than the middle of the pack, there's about a 15-goal differential from Team 6 to Team 25, you know, and how many goals teams are scoring. And I mean, the Jets are way down the list, and they've always been a team. Like, from the beginning of the season, they are a team that you know can hurt you in the goal department, and yet they're nowhere near scoring prowess of the Canucks, the Maple Leafs, the Avalanche, or even the Predators, for that matter. So
here's a stat from February 17th to the end of the season, to their last game, and that was the start of that 18-game point streak, which again was another franchise record. But the Predators had the second most wins of 20, the second highest point count of 43. This is entire NHL. And we outscored opponents 106-71, which is the second highest differential in the league, and scored the third most goals per game at 3.79, while allowing the fourth fewest at 2.54. So, again, when you look at those numbers there, the prior to February, when we were literally like, I don't know, 6 points out of the bottom playoff contention.
Right.
We're a totally different team than what the Canucks faced. So yeah. I feel like we pair pretty good.
Now, do you have the stats in front of you for how well the team did in its last 20 games and last 15 games? Now, I say this because last 10 games doesn't always mean as much. The reason I bring that up is because regardless of how well your team has played, if they've stayed within a certain level, approximately, like they've been basically middle of the pack, or they were not as good as middle of the pack, and then they finish the last 15 games really strong, they probably have a good chance in the first round. But not necessarily more than that. But, I mean, you can suck as bad as you want in the first half. And if you are one of the top 10 teams in the second half, you're probably going to make the playoffs. A case in point, the Preds, who were out of a playoff spot on more than one occasion during the course of the season until they finally got into that wild card area and stayed there the entire time for the last, I'd say, what, about 20-ish games? But for the last 15 or so, more than 15, because they went on that 18-game run, and that was several games ago that ended. So you could go back about 25 games to see what kind of team they've been. But if you look at the last 15, and you look at the record that they've had in the last 15, they must have won at least 10, meaning they've won, you know, more than double what they've lost, like two-thirds of their games.
And yeah, I don't have the stats for
that. That, to me, says that's a team that is, and I've said this to you before, I'm going to say it again. I honestly believe the road to the Stanley Cup is probably going to go through the Predators. And regardless of that, I mean, look who you're playing. If Canucks beat the Preds, Canucks have a chance to actually win. They might get confidence of that. Because I honestly think if the Canucks win that series, it's going to be at least 6, if not 7. I think the Preds, if they win, will do it in 5 or 6. I know that sounds weird to you, but I just think Saros is going to stand on his head, and your top three goal scorers are going to show why they're the top three goal scorers and why one of them is one of the best in the league.
experience matters in the playoffs because, like you know as well as I do, there's hockey and there's playoff hockey. It's two totally different seasons.
Exactly.
It's like it might as well be two different leagues. And, you know, it's crazy.
And you do have experienced playoff guys on your team.
So I was looking at UC Saros versus Demko, and they were talking about, so UC has 10 starts in the postseason, 17 total appearances. Demko has 3 and 4, respectively.
Okay.
Nashville's, as a whole, the lineup has 818 playoff game experience versus 482 in the Canucks. And when you figure that Shen and McDonough have both won 2 Stanley Cups,
Shen's won 2 Stanley Cups? How did I not know that?
Yeah, and Ryan O'Reilly's won a Stanley Cup.
Yes.
We have some really seasoned veterans.
That's odd. He's bounced around, which is weird. He's one of those guys you don't know why people trade him, because he's never actually been a problem. Some teams have looked at him and go, well, he's not really quite a fit. How? He wants the puck more than most guys on the ice most of the time. And the only time he doesn't want it more than anyone else, he wants it as bad as anyone else. That's what I noticed everywhere I've seen him play. That was like,
and he's tough. Like, he is tough to play against.
Do you know what he reminds me of? Reminds me of a weaker, smaller Dion Phaneuf.
I'm not familiar with him, so I don't know.
Whoa. What? I didn't quite hear. You're not familiar with Dion Phaneuf?
I am not familiar.
Played for the Calgary Flames, and he was a terror. You played against him, and he would launch you from one end of the ice to the other when he hit you. And he could score and get lots of his points and stuff. And then he was traded to Toronto at a time when the Jets didn't exist. So having moved to Toronto at the time, naturally was watching Leaf games. And I didn't hate the Leafs, so it was easier for me to become a Leafs fan. And so when they got Dion Phaneuf, I was like, yeah. And he was knocking people all over the place. But there was always a lot of this and that. And, oh, if we're going to trade anybody, it should be Phaneuf. I'm like, why?
Well, with the exception of the obvious, okay, with Roman Josi, McDonough, we have a pretty good decor. Alexander Carrier, he's been stellar this year. He was stellar last year. Jeremy Lauzon, he came up from Milwaukee last year, played great. They kept him on the roster, thank God. The dude has set the NHL record for hits of 383 hits.
Man,
he's been a monster.
This is the kind of thing I talk about. I spent pretty much the entire season, not pretty much, the entire season, telling you from before it started that your team was better than you think, that they were going to make the playoffs. And I remember saying to you before it even started, it doesn't matter whether they finish first or with the last wild card spot. They're probably going to be a formidable team come playoff time. And you're finally starting to see that just now. And it's about time. Meanwhile, I admit I've had a little bit of my, you know, let's talk about the Jets now. And they're, you know, with the, I want to see the.
Yeah, let me just say one thing. Let me just say one thing about before you start.
Yeah, go ahead.
I told you so. I've been telling you for a long time the Jets are not out of this. So there you go. I'll continue.
Just
if I could put a GIF up here of the "I told you so," "I told you so," I would put
a little backstory. Both of our teams were so freaking terrible at one point, and when I say terrible, the Jets were actually pretty much up the list, but they weren't winning. But they had played so well in the first half that they were able to actually lose more games than they won for a stretch, and still have be fighting for fifth or third place for a good chunk of the season before they finally went on that six-game losing streak, which was stupid and embarrassing. By the way, the Jets have only lost three games or more three times this season, as far as I know. They had a three-game losing streak early in the season when they were actually at the good. I think it was the beginning of the year, actually. They had a five-game losing streak just a little while after they started playing really – or no, sorry, after the first half of the season ended, or in the second half. And they went on a five-game losing streak, and then they just turned around and won five in a row right away again. Then they kind of like they'd win two, lose one, win three, lose one. And they didn't lose two in a row for a long time. And when they did
lose
two,
your team has been way more consistent than the Predators have been.
They were for a while, and then they went on that damn six-game losing streak, just as it was looking like they were going to challenge for first place again. And after that six-game losing streak, they won a couple, lost one. Won a couple, lost one again, and then they're now at seven straight, and I'm hoping that doesn't. It's end of first 1-1, so we're still good for now. But nonetheless, they're at seven straight right now, and they could end up finishing the season with 8-game winning streak, which would be twice with an 8-game winning streak, and the 8-game winning streak is a Winnipeg Jets record for at least for Jets 2.0. I don't really remember the original Jets if they've ever done nine. I don't think so. I think seven or eight was all they ever did in a row, and they had a couple of really good seasons where they finished third or fourth in the league, but or at least one anyways. But the 2017-2018 Jets were at least points wise definitely the best team the Jets have ever had. Well, actually, they just plain were of any era, and this year they're probably even better. The only thing that would really make them better would be if Bufflin came out of retirement. Yeah. But that's
he's missed. He's missed.
Let's have a little bit of a chat about the Avalanche and their the Jets' Achilles heel could possibly be some nobody named McKinnon. You know, only probably the best player in the world right now. I'm sorry, Mr. McDavid. I'm sorry, Mr. Dreisaitl, and I'm sorry, Mr. What's his name from Toronto?
Yeah, it's Mr. 69
the guy with 9,000 goals, whatever. But Nathan McKinnon has what does he have? 60 goals or something like that? Or
yeah, he's up there. He's definitely an elite player for sure. I don't know if he's the best at this point, but that's
honestly, as overall player right now, just because he's done it. Again, it's kind of like your boy there, why am I forgetting? I want to say Roman Josi, but not him. Your goal scorer.
Philip Forsberg?
Yeah, Forsberg. He's kind of done it quietly. Like, people have noticed him. They talked about him a lot more than Forsberg. But a lot of that is because the Avs either have been fighting for first place or at least fighting for a better spot for a good chunk of the season. At one point, they were number one or number two for a while. And like a lot of the teams, including Boston, they kind of fell down a little bit after having a nice run. Jets had a couple of weeks at number one, and they fell. New York Rangers are the only team that didn't fall out of number one, but that's only because they only went into it 2 weeks ago. So all they had to do is win a few more and stay there. So they, right now, the New York Rangers are the best team in the league. But do I think
are they're the best team in the league? Are they going to be the President's Trophy?
Oh, no. They just locked that up like 3 games ago.
Okay, I didn't know that. So that means they're going to get swept. 3 games that means they're going to get swept in the playoffs.
Yeah, probably, if history tells it. But anyways, about the Avs, okay, they're goaltending. To be honest with you, I need to look up the goaltenders' names. I actually don't remember them. And this is not, I'm not trying to be insulting, but they just, if you're not an Avs fan or a really diehard Stats fan, you may not even know who they are in comparison to some other team's goaltending. They're not bad goaltenders by any stretch of the imagination. They can play number one or number two on a lot of teams, but the problem is they're not number one on Stanley Cup winning teams, in my opinion. I don't think so. I don't think anybody believes that right now, except maybe them. God, I hope they're not watching this, because if they ever run into me on the street, I'm a dead man. But but the truth of the matter is they're up against not only Connor Hellebuck, but also Laurent Brossoit, who, despite the fact that he's only played 22 games and cannot get his name on a Jennings if the Jets score 3 goals or less. And no, they don't have to score 2 or less, 3 or less, and they can at least share it with the Panthers. But I think that sucks, by the way. They should drop that down to, I don't know, 20. 15 might be a little too low, because it's easy to have really good stats. But at 20, once you hit 20 games, if your stats are still up there, you don't deserve the single goalie trophy, but the team one, hell yeah, 20 games. Why does that not count? They should change it, and they should change it retroactively, in my opinion, to include any goalie who's ever played, so that they're not gonna put their name on the trophy, 30 years later, but acknowledge them, right? There's been a lot of goaltenders who didn't play enough to get their name on there, but the 20 games that they did play, or 22, should be worth it. And Laurent Brossoit's numbers are technically better than Hellebuck's. In the same amount of games played, would they be as good? Maybe. Maybe not. He has, I believe, 2 shutouts in his last 3 games. So he's playing tonight, as far as I know. 2 shutouts in the last 3 games. He had a shutout a few years back when he played with the Jets. Had a second shutout, I believe, when he played with whatever team he was traded to. And then he came back to the Jets last year, and then he got a shutout this year. So it was only his third ever shutout, or second. Maybe he didn't get with the other team. But then all of a sudden he got another one. And then the next game he played, a few days later, he got another one again. And I'm like, wait a minute now. So his goals against average is better than Hellebuck's. As it stands, I mean, in the numbers, that is, and his save percentage also is better. Would it be better if he played 42 games? Probably not. But would he be competitive with him? I 100% believe that. I think the Jets have the 2 best goaltenders in the league, certainly the best goaltending tandem in the league. So the big ace in the hole for the Jets against anybody is their goaltending, but I'm hearing other people say that their weak spot is their defense. How do you figure?
I don't know.
Morrissey alone is as good as any defenseman in the league. And why he's not being nominated for a Norris, there's the other numbers involved in why they dominate them, and I guess. But in my opinion, he deserves a Norris trophy this year for sure. But basically, all of their other defensemen, Dylan DeMello, by the way, is amongst the league leaders. What was it again in that stat that he had? I'm sorry, I should have had this ready for, but I for some reason I was thinking. I think you're from. Are you? Didn't Dylan DeMello used to play for the Predators?
The name sounds familiar, but I think he did. It was short lived for something, but I don't think so.
I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking he played for them. Maybe it's a different team I'm thinking
of. What's Brossoit? Is the numbers? What's his stats numbers?
Oh, okay. I'd have to look that up. But
oh, I thought you had it there. So I was kind of curious about Lincoln.
I'm literally looking at the full league right now because I wanted to see. Because
Lincoln has been pretty solid. I don't know. Again, I was wanting to compare the numbers. He really kind of came on strong. Of course, Lincoln was a starting goalie for the Chicago Blackhawks for a long time when they were good, right. You know. So he's a good goalie.
And, yes, he is. Yeah,
his numbers are for this regular season 282 and .908.
Well, see, the thing is that the
24 games played.
The goals against average can be a little deceiving with goaltenders, especially if they've played more games. Less games are totally deceiving. Like Anthony Stolarz is the league leader in goals against average at 2.03. How many games has he played? I mean, because like, there's nobody.
2.03.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, 2, exactly. You got Sergei Bobrovsky, 2.37, which is normal for him, but he's not even being considered for what you call the trophy. Vezina. Hellebuck is the front runner, who's 2.39, which is excellent. But here's the thing. Hellebuck's played considerably more than those other goaltenders. Considerably more. So his numbers make way more sense. Thatcher Demko, I'm not sure how many he's played, but he's at 2.44, which is highly respectable. Right? That's not bad numbers at all. Skinner is at 2.57. Cam Talbot, 2.47. But what was it? There was another stat in here for some reason that is not showing up. It was here yesterday. And now it's not showing up. Hang on a second. I got to hit the other button. Was it save? No, not save percentage. Oh, yeah, Anthony Stolarz is 9.25 save percentage, too. Hellebuck is second to this guy.
Yeah, and see, the same thing with Saros and Lincoln that you're talking about with Brossoit and Hellebuck. Technically, Lincoln's numbers are a little better than Saros's. Saros, for the season, is at 286 and 906. But you know, Saros has played 64 games versus 24 games. So when you think about that stat, obviously Saros' numbers are better. Now, Saros hasn't had his best year. He hasn't had definitely a worst year. I mean, he's got good numbers, but
no, he's definitely not had his best year. But
he's not had his best year. So,
but you know what? He's also been let down a few times. Let's be realistic.
Oh yeah, he's been hung out to dry more times than your mama's laundry.
Yeah, okay. I have no idea why the heck this is coming up right now. But Michael Hutchinson, by the way, who's actually definitely an NHL caliber goaltender, has played one game this season. So somebody's not giving him a chance. He needs to be traded somewhere else. No offense. I mean, I'm not saying this because I want anybody to be injured, but I hope that's due to injury and not just because I don't believe in him. The guy's actually slated to be Winnipeg's number one, but he got injured. He took over for a backup who was injured, and then the number one guy got injured, and he had to take over for a while, and that's when they called up Hellebuck, who they thought needed another year. Hutchinson got injured a few games later, and Hellebuck has been the number one goalie ever since. That's how good Hellebuck is. Several years of that. But nonetheless, Michael Hutchinson is definitely way better than a one-game-a-year goaltender. That's something's up with that. I'm going to look that up some other time. But I can't remember that stat that I was looking for. But you were asking about one.
I was just curious what Brossoit's stats were. I was just kind of comparing to
For some reason. I know why. I didn't look directly at the Winnipeg Jets in the NHL. If I had done that, that's probably where I would have found it. I went to the Winnipeg Jets. Not schedule. Look at that.
Here we go. I got it right here on ESPN.
Oh, I'm glad you got
He's played 22 games, and he is, 2.0 and 928.
Yeah.
For 22 games, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's beyond good. It's for the amount of games he's played.
I thought I was
his numbers are actually better. Everyone else that is in that range has either played more like Hellebuck and maybe one other guy, or they've played only 15 or 12 or 10 or 5 or something. So
yeah, Hellebuck's played 60 games.
Who?
Hellebuck.
Yeah.
He's wow, played 60 lot. Games, and it's he's 239.921. So, I mean, he's...
Yeah. Yeah. And he was also 917 at one point. As a matter of fact, actually, at the end of the first half of the season, Hellebuck's numbers, I think it was 9.911 save percentage. And he went from that to 921. So that's a hell of an improvement. It's a small number. And that small number is a goal a game difference. That's huge over the course of the entire season.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
A goal and a half, actually, I think, something like that. And for some reason, I can't actually find... Oh, there. No, that's a Wikipedia page. It used to be you would just hit the search button for the team. It would go to their NHL version of the page. You know, Winnipeg Jets NHL page or the Calgary Flames NHL page. For some reason, that's not happening to me. And I don't know why. So the Canucks, anyways, as I was saying. Not Canucks. I keep saying that. The Avalanche, pardon me. They're an amazing team. They have an incredible amount of offense. It's not just Nathan McKinnon, to be sure. They have good offense. Their goaltending or good defense. Their goaltending is, but it's not bad. It's actually pretty good. And they've been known to stifle a team here and there. But the problem is I don't honestly believe that they can handle the grit, intestinal fortitude, and the sheer volume of energy that the Jets are capable of bringing also. And this is a lot to do with coaching, obviously. The Jets can and will change their style of play from play to play at the drop of a hat. In mid-flight, I've seen the Jets actually change both their offense and defensive structures in the middle of a play. And you just don't see that with other teams. So that's why they're able to adapt. That's why when you see them, some games they're like, oh, they're down 1-0 in the first period. And they played like crap. They got 3 shots on goal. And they come out in the second, they get 15 shots and score 3 goals. You know, what the hell happened?
Did you know that Avalanche are running with 3 goalies on roster?
Who?
Avalanche.
3 goalies on the roster? Lots of teams have that. Well, in the past, lots of teams did.
I didn't know they had 3. They had that Gorgiev, a Noonan, and I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Is it Francois?
F-R-A-N-C-O-U-Z. If it's French, it's Francois. What?
F-R-A-N-C-O-U-Z. Pavel?
U-Z. I don't know.
Francouz? I don't know.
Francouz, I guess, yeah. Francouz. Yeah. An Italian goaltender.
But his numbers, his numbers are abysmal. He's at 302 and 897. I want him in goal.
Oh, my God. That
I want like him
Grant,
in net.
That sounds like Grant Fuhr numbers. That's not disrespecting Grant Fuhr. Those numbers were normal back then when the crappiest team in the NHL would score 300 goals. Now, the best team scores 325.
Oh, sorry. My mistake. Let me change that. I was clicking on the wrong person. That was Gorgiev's numbers.
Ew. That's their number one guy.
Yeah, that's their number one guy.
Oh.
Maybe not after this year.
yeah. I don't know why they can't get another goaltender. They're afraid to trade somebody out or something.
The other two goalies have like 13 and...
They got an excellent team overall.
16 games, respectively.
They need to trade a few draft picks. Like, trade a couple of first-rounders. Do whatever you have to do. And pick up one really solid two-way defenseman. You notice what I said. I said two-way defenseman because I believe they need that. And one solid goaltender. And then just work your secondary goaltender right out of the system from junior or college, whatever. And, you know, train him through the system. By the second year around, you might have this guy actually working well. That's how the Jets have done it. That's how they got Hellebuck. That's how they got Hutchinson when he was supposed to be that guy. And that's how they've got a lot of their players, except for they obviously inevitably ended up needing to supplement a number of trades. And now they've done that this year. And speaking of which, a good way to segue into that, right? The Jets, let me look at their little roster here. so we can actually talk about how this is going. This is actually, I'm stoked at how this works out. Speaking of which, Brossoit has faced 9 shots on goal and allowed one. That's not necessarily a good thing. But that said, well, no, they are against the Canucks.
When we played the Jets, remember, you guys scored 3 on 5 shots. So yeah,
well, yeah, but that's the Jets, right? You didn't have Brossoit in net. Anyways, the bottom line is usually when that happens, he usually shuts the door. But they are playing a team that has an incredible... Like, remember, the Canucks were the number one scoring team for 3/4 of the season before they stopped scoring as much as they did.
Pettersson's a sniper,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I think I need to hold this up for a second. Can you see that? Is it visible?
2-1 that you scored?
Yeah, baby. All right. I'm sorry. I had to do that. Cole Perfetti. He's still considered a prospect. He's not even a regular player yet, which is mind-boggling because the guy is so unbelievably talented. He reminds me of a cross between Ehlers and Connor. Kyle Connor. Ehlers is, by the way, not playing tonight. A bunch of guys aren't playing.
The Jets. The Preds have been doing the same thing, roster maintenance.
You know what? I think that's a huge mistake because it's not like they locked up their first place or their second place or whatever. They're vying to make sure that they can get more time in that first round at home. And I would have just put every single number one body out there. But they have 100% health right now. Every single player is back from whatever injuries or illnesses. They're all 100%. And honestly, the Jets have so much depth that, let's see, Perfetti and Velarde. So one guy they traded to get and one guy that they brought up from the system from draft. And that's depth, baby. It's fantastic. So my opinion... I think the Jets should beat the Avalanche in the series. And I honestly do believe that they could do it in 5 and that they should do it within 6. If it goes 7 games, the Jets don't stand a chance in the second round. I'm sorry. They're a great team. They have great goaltending. But they just haven't proved to me that they can go that many games that fast and not run out of steam. I hope I'm wrong, but... If they go 7 and they go against a team that 1-5, they're not going to be able to do it. Unless they go against
a team. There's a lot of experience on that team, and you know.
There is. They're not, it's like I said, they're an excellent hockey team. They're not bad. These guys literally fought to the last game over who is going to get that spot. Right? And the Jets won. But of course, if you look back at the games that the Jets played against the Avalanche, they played them 3 times, twice in Colorado. They destroyed them everyone. None of these were 2-1 games. I think the lowest scoring game, I think, was 4-2. The other ones were like 5-something or 6-something, you know, and then the 7-0.
Well, so, the Preds definitely have a nice long break, which hasn't boded well for them in the past. And I feel like a lot of times these hockey players, they get into their rhythm. They get into a groove. And they play their best when they just keep playing. And then when you take this break, it's kind of like, you know how like when you're working really hard and you go to lunch and you're like, oh man, you're just all comfortable and you have your lunch, you get up and then you just have like that motivation just isn't there anymore.
Yeah, right.
You're like your bones are creaking or what. I just feel like when they take too long of a break, it's just not going to go well. But, you know, obviously we don't have any control over the playoffs because – our first playoff game is Sunday, and then we play again Tuesday, and then they play in Nashville Friday and Sunday of next weekend. So because of how the schedule is, because of like there's stuff going on at Rogers Arena, there's stuff going on at Bridgestone, just the sheer distance between the two teams. I mean, you know, it's a long travel to play.
Well, I got to ask you, who are you rooting for tonight in the game?
Your team?
Yeah.
Well, of course I want the Jets to win.
Wait, now, is it because you prefer the Jets to win or because you want the Jets to beat the snot out of the Canucks?
Well, it's
so that they're tired and beat up.
Both.
Yeah. Okay. We have to get off talking about our own teams now because we don't have a lot of time left. So let's talk about what we think about other teams are going to be able to do. Edmonton didn't start out well. Everyone like, oh my God, doesn't matter what they do. They got the best player in the world, blah, 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 blah. They can't do anything. Well, they proved that wrong when they won 16 or whatever it was consecutive games.
Yeah.
And in the second half of the season, they were, ironically enough, not the best team in the league. They were like the second best. The best team in the league in the second half, for a good chunk of the second half, regardless of whether you want to believe it or not, was actually the Predators if you look at the numbers. So, but that
their weakest point has been goaltending. They have not had strong goaltending.
What, the Oilers?
Oilers, yeah.
Yeah. That's true. It's very true. But even with that, I think the Oilers are an incredibly strong team.
Oh, yeah.
In the first round. In the second round, regardless of who they're playing, I'm not saying they couldn't go to the conference final, but they'll have a hard time with whoever makes it to the second round. If they make it past the first round, they're going to have a hell of a time in round two. I really believe that. I don't think there's a lot to talk about with the other teams in the Western Conference other than what we did. Avalanche, if they beat the Jets, I wouldn't put it past them to be able to go all the way. Although, if they played against, help me out here, Dallas? Is it Dallas?
Yeah.
They would probably lose. I would pick Dallas to win that. Right now, I don't know if I'd pick Dallas over anybody. But I think realistically, the numbers probably say that they're the best team. Not just because they are, but just because they're so stingy that there's a good chance that they could. But here's the biggest thing. Dallas scores more than every other team other than the Avalanche in the Western Conference at this point, certainly for the last 20 games.
Yeah,
they score more than the Predators do. So if they played the Predators, the defenses are comparable. The goaltending is comparable, but they score way more. Same thing with the Jets. Jets, better goaltending, way better defense, but nowhere near as good in the goal scoring department. So that kind of weighs itself out. Against Edmonton, they're way better defensively and equally as good on offense. So where does that go? Again, if the Oilers had to play them in the first round, I could see the Oilers actually pulling it off against Dallas. In the second round, no chance. Yeah. Lucky for them, they won't play them in the second round. But
when you look at the Eastern Conference,
yeah, I was going to go there too.
You know the normal. Let's see, I don't even know who's in the top there. Let me pull that up because I need this.
What, Rangers?
Well, again, the Rangers are going to get swept in the first round because they won the President's
Trophy. That's an omen sort of prediction. Like saying if Toronto plays Boston, Toronto automatically loses in game seven after giving up a 3-goal lead with 2 minutes to go. But
but look at history. History speaks it. When we won the President's Trophy, we were destroyed.
Well, but now hang on a minute. In all fairness, you guys fought tooth and nail. Your team fought tooth and nail to get into the playoffs at all, and you barely made it in. First half sucked. Second half, you're like, oh my God, we can do it. You're racing for the finish line. You slam your hand over that line and go, we got in. And then you start running through teams going, hey man, look how good we are. And then you get to the final and go like, oh.
So here's
I guess we were good enough to race against Usain Bolt, but we're really not going to beat him. That's kind of how that must have felt like. But the difference there is that in 2017, 2018, you really did have, in the regular season, the best team. And in all honesty, I don't know that the Jets were actually better than the Preds that year. I think that the Jets people say, oh, they wanted it more. The Preds wanted it too. I just think that there was a minor amount of luck here and there. A puck went in that maybe wouldn't have gone in the day before. You know?
Here's my prediction.
You guys hit a post in one game that maybe the next game wouldn't have hit the post, would have went in instead. So there's a minor amount of luck in there. They went seven games, and the Jets did win by a pretty good score in that seventh game, but I think by then the Jets just had the confidence, and your guys were starting to lose at that point at the conference.
Okay, so we're talking about other teams now.
Yes, we are, and we're also not talking about 2018. So please continue.
So here's my call for the Eastern Conference. I don't think the Rangers are going to make it past first round. I don't think they're going to get swept. I just don't. You know, I think they're going to end up making it because I think they're playing teams that are much stronger. Now, well, let me back up. They'll make it through the first round. They won't make it through the second round.
Who, the Preds?
No, the Rangers. Because the Rangers are playing the Capitals. Yeah. Capitals have been terrible this year.
Okay? Yeah,
they barely
right.
squeaked in that last wild card spot.
Right.
Carolina Hurricanes are number two. And so I guess they're probably going to play. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be the Hurricanes or Boston. Yeah, I don't know. But
Boston
Florida Panthers.
Second.
Florida Panthers, man. Everyone counts Florida Panthers out. Panthers are a tough team, man. They're number one in the Atlantic.
Yeah, they're trying to be the best defensive team. But if the Jets don't allow any more goals in this game, they finish second. I had to do that little sinister laugh. Anyways, Panthers, no, I would never count them out. I would give them as good a chance as anyone. Boston, I don't believe he's going to do it. Anyway, so we'll talk about how great Boston was, but how many of their points came from losing in overtime? If you got the stats in front of you, that's a shocker. They lost the fewest amount of regulation games this season. And it's been like that since the first game of the season. But every other team was like basically fighting to catch up with them and maybe pass them even. If the Jets win tonight, they pass Boston too. That's why they finished fourth, like I'm saying. And Boston,
yeah,
is
they
still
have a combined
the league,
20 games lost.
Yeah, exactly. Combined? What do you mean combined?
Between home and away. Sorry.
Oh no. Yeah, but how many
total?
How many overtime losses? Overtime.
Oh, overtime.
Shoot.
Sorry. They are
a
15.
Lot. Yeah,
15.
15 games that, in all reality. Right, I don't know how many of those are shootouts.
You take 15 points away, and they're not even. They're not.
Yeah,
even
exactly.
The
there was a time when overtime didn't get you points. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
before my time, actually. But there was a time when that didn't get you any points, and that would have had Boston not even be in the playoffs, if you look at the numbers.
Yeah, and you,
they
see,
wouldn't have even
look,
been in it.
You've got the right. New York Islanders, third in the Metropolitan with 94 points. They're going to get destroyed. They
Islanders,
are not that good. They snuck into that spot because they are not that
as,
good.
They're not as bad as you might think.
No, I've watched them play, and we've played them. So, I mean, I know how they play. And they're not terrible, but they're not. No, they're I'm not, sorry. They're not going to be able to
Well, who are
withstand.
They playing against? Who are they playing against?
I don't know what the schedule is on the Eastern Conference.
And so there's still a couple of teams that have to get their spots?
No, all the spots are locked in, it looks like, but I don't see. So we have, it goes well, on based on top in the Eastern, not in the division.
Yeah, no, number one plays the last.
Number, right.
Wild card. Number two plays the first wild card. And then everyone else is number in each division, number two against number three.
Okay, so number one and two are Islanders Hurricanes because it's 114 points, 111 points. And then the Florida Panthers, 110.
Canes win that one. Canes hands down, probably four
against
straight,
Tampa,
4-1.
Yeah.
What's that?
Against Tampa, you're talking about?
Wait, against Tampa? Okay, I'm sorry. You just said Canes and Islanders. I'm confused.
No. I was going down like who's got the points. So
look at
the wild card spot is Tampa and Washington.
Right. So we already know that they're the ones who are going to play the Rangers and whoever second is.
Second would be Hurricanes.
Hurricanes finished second in the conference?
They have 111 points, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So, all right, there you have that. No, so
that's what I'm saying. So, yeah,
so
I think the Canes can easily beat Tampa.
Eastern Division, in each of the two Eastern Division divisions, who finished second and third in each division?
So, Metropolitan is Canes Islanders. And then Atlantic is Bruins Leafs.
Okay. Bruins, everyone's going to
say. So I guess the Islanders would play the Bruins?
Everyone's going to say
the Panthers.
Bruins. No. Did you hear what I said? Second place and third place in each division play each other in round one. So if Bruins and Leafs are second and third in their division, and neither one of them is first in the conference, then they will play each other. Same with Canes. And, you know, let me look this up. I'm just afraid to take this off because I was looking at that. But I'm just going to open up a new tab and go NHL standings again. Open this up. I beg your pardon. We're running down to the last couple of minutes here, so we're gonna have to this one up.
Yeah, we'll have to deal with this standings thing, maybe next episode when we kind of get into it after they, because by the time we do our next week's podcast, we'll have already played the first two games.
Yeah. So okay, let me just real quick here. So we already know, New York and Carolina. Okay, the Hurricanes. Yeah. 111. But here's the thing. It's the first place of each division that gets one and two, right? So Florida and New York will be the teams that will play the two wild card teams.
Okay. So That's what I thought. Yeah.
I totally forgot that Carolina and the Rangers were in the same. I was thinking they were the same as Florida. I don't know why. So Boston will play Toronto and Carolina will play the Islanders. So this is an easy pick. Anyone who picks it differently is nuts. Carolina's going to destroy New York Islanders. I'm sorry. Five, maybe even four straight. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree totally.
Sorry. Boston and Toronto is a totally different story. Most people will say, Boston's going to destroy them because they always do. But Toronto, just on goals alone, they might take it.
Next podcast, too, we're going to talk about how I've seen some rumors going around where they might restructure the divisions and conferences next year. But that's for another episode. We can talk about that next one. So I am Robert from Nashville, Tennessee, and saying adios until next time. Lionel?
Yep.
he's got something stuck in his throat and he's having coughing. Anyways, I'm Robert on behalf of Lionel in Canada. We'll see you next episode.
Have a good one.